I've been a podcast manager for other podcasts, and now after 200 episodes of my own, this is what I've learned. Apply this to your client work. Hey everyone, I'm Emily Reagan, and you've discovered Unicorns Unite. This is a podcast for freelancers, service providers, virtual assistants, and curious listeners who would like to experience the freedom and flexibility of working virtually. We're the magic makers, movers, and shakers, and the real people doing the work behind the scenes of online businesses. Welcome to Unicorns Unite. But first, this podcast is sponsored by castmagic.io. It's used for podcast, video streamers, and long-form content creators who want to get more mileage out of their content. Sign up for this AI tool and get a free 7-day trial. Just go to get.castmagic.io/unicorns. I'm reading that there's a 50% chance that your podcast is going to fade. I'm reading stats that only 20% are actually active, and about 75% podcasts are no longer in production. This is this phenomenon called pod fade, where the podcast host starts with good dreams, good intentions, and cannot keep up the podcast for whatever reason. So hello, hi, I'm here today, Emily Reagan, episode 203, not pod fading anytime soon, but here to help you out if you are doing digital marketing freelance work, if you're helping clients with podcast, how you can help them prevent this, keep on track, because running a podcast is hard. It's tough. I've learned a lot of lessons, both as a host for myself and after managing two different podcasts when I did more freelance work, less coaching. Okay, so first of all, hello, if you're new to me, welcome to the podcast. I'm a fellow freelancer, been doing the work, I still do the work. I mainly do quiz funnel projects. I do copywriting, Facebook ads right now for clients, more marketing projects. But there was a time where I was juggling multiple clients, doing hourly retainers, packages, projects, and I have since started teaching my friends, my overeducated underemployed military spouse friends and moms who took baby breaks, how to get back into this type of work and launch their own business. So welcome to the podcast if you're new. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to talk about this because the story of my podcast is it wasn't something I actually wanted to do. We just hit episode 200. It was really fun. Sally and Jen interviewed me and asked me questions and I had to just show up. I did no preparation whatsoever, just poured out my little heart. They had really good answers and it was really fun. But then I thought like, hey, this would be a good follow-up. What have I learned after 200 episodes of my own show, especially as the woman behind the scenes who in broadcast journalism didn't want to be in front of the camera, didn't really need the limelight or attention. I didn't think I had a voice. I didn't think I would ever amass any kind of audience, even if it's small and niche like it is today. I just didn't think this could be me. And here I am, just kind of fun because I did host a college radio show. I had the Sunday afternoon show at the University of Oklahoma on The Wire. That's what we called it. But here I am with my own show. It was something I was a little bit hesitant to start for myself. But once I realized the power that comes when you are perceived as a thought leader, when you are on deadline to create content, when you are having really big guests on your show and expanding your network, the more people that know about me, can recommend my unicorns to be hired, to be booked, to be signed, it just is more and more powerful. So I learned very quickly that actually a podcast was what I need. And it's kind of fun now because people are pitching me for my show and I'm pretty booked out and through the fall. Like I have a game plan, I have a content plan. Can't just like squeeze guests in when I have a schedule. And it's kind of cool too, because it also creates content for my team. They can go back and listen to what I have said. I'm able to record a lot of podcasts on the fly. I don't do a lot of scripts, as you can tell. I'm very much me here. And I don't like when it feels like it's all scripted out and perfect. I wish I could be that person sometimes, but I'm not. But what's cool is we have this bank of content and my team can share it. We can use our content very intently and strategically inside our own funnels when we're answering questions, when we are giving people more information so they can really educate themselves along their buyer awareness journey, and then ultimately, hopefully, decide to work with me, right? Podcast forces you to show up. And I say this all the time about hiring a team. When you have other people who are working beside you to accomplish a goal, you don't put it aside. I mean, yes, I've been late before, with many deadlines. But when you have a team working to produce something, you take it seriously and you show up. And I have very rarely ever not published an episode. We've taken a couple breaks over Christmas. I've been kind of late on one or two. My podcast editor has saved my hiney when I missed a deadline or two. But for the most part, it forces me to show up. I want to answer this first question before I get into all of my lessons. And this is going to be a fun episode because I also asked my podcast editor, Emily Porter, a fellow military spouse. She has been on the show. And I asked my podcast assistant, my marketing assistant, Shannon Govern, for their tips on doing the podcast too. So I'm very much, I want you to know what's happening behind the scenes. I am never the person who tries to pretend I can do it all because there's no way in hell I could do it. But first, somebody asked me, a fellow freelancer, if they should think about starting a podcast. And the follow-up question was, should I be pitching myself to be on shows before I have my own show? And so here's my official answers for those. One, a lot of our clients are going to think that they want a podcast, but I don't think they realize how hard it is to show up consistently. I know that's why they hire us. That's why they need marketing help. That's why they need a teammate in their business, but they need to test it out and make sure it's the right platform for them. I mean, how many of you had had a client who said they were going to show up on TikTok and fizzled out after 2 weeks? YouTube, another one. It is really hard for clients to show up consistently when it involves a video and creating content. Podcasting is no different. So what I like to encourage you, if you have one of those clients where you're like, I'm not quite sure, have them try out a private podcast. I have an episode I did with Hello Audio about my private podcast that I sent to my waitlist. We'll link to that episode in the show notes, but try something like that. Test out a lead magnet, a mini audio series or something like that, and just see if they like it. They might. They might end up loving it. I do love it. It just is also a labor of love and it's hard to show up. And then do you have to be guesting on one before you start one? No, absolutely not. I encourage you to have your clients pick one strong medium where they can show up consistently and then repurpose to other platforms that make sense for them instead of trying to do it all. And for some people, that could be podcasting and they already know it. You don't have to be a guest. It's a good experience. I think you're a better guest when you've been a host, when you can anticipate questions and when you can include the host in the conversation. I mean, it just goes better, but it's more of an art of interview than anything. So no, you do not have to be a podcast host to be a podcast guest or vice versa. The other question is, should I start one as a service provider? And it really depends. I think the biggest thing to know is, what is the purpose of the podcast? What are you trying to do? And as long as you're not in it to make money, should be okay. It might be something that's your passion project and you want to try out. But if you are thinking of trying to grow an audience, trying to work with higher end clients, podcasting is really good for showing your thought leadership, for showing that you are a high-level expert. I like to think about my friend Kim Keel, who started her podcast that's doing really well on the charts, and it's all about copywriting. And they're just really good bite-sized nuggets about copywriting, and it does still attract clients because then they start trusting her. So it could be something for you, but you don't have to jump on that bandwagon at all. I wouldn't start one until you're very niche down and specialized and know what you want to do. Before I jump into all of this, I want to tell you that I used to be a podcast manager for Jennifer Allwood and her show. And I also used to work with Wendy Batten on her show. She coaches creative retailers. And so I've learned a lot seeing the cycle, how hard it was to consistently post content for them, how there's only so much you can do when you are not the talent, but you can do everything possible to queue up your clients, to be prepared for their interviews, to do the pre-production, post-production, and to keep everything organized to communicate with the editor. Okay, it was a lot of fun. I really loved this type of work. I love that feeling of hitting publish on a piece of content every day. That's why I loved being a newspaper editor and saying like, look, this is the paper we put out this week when we did a weekly. And I feel like that with podcasting. We have an entire podcast manager training inside our digital marketers work group. So if you are working as a marketing assistant and you're looking for a niche to level in quickly, podcast management could be it. And it's cool because you don't have to be the talent. talent. You could prepare the scripts, you can book the guest, you can do the promotional graphics, you can be building the blogs, doing the SEO. There's so much you could be doing behind the podcast to make it happen without actually having to be the talent in the face or the voice. The voice. Okay, so I already knew going into my own podcast after working with Jennifer and Wendy that I was going to treat my editor with respect and I was going to treat my marketing assistant with respect and not turn in things late or the day before and expect everyone to bend over. I am not talking ill about them, but both of them were creative and sometimes a little bit last minute. And I wish we could have just always been a little bit ahead of the game, right? It didn't need to feel like burning fires all of the time. So I try to do that with my own team, but the joke's on me because I'm actually turning this podcast in several days late, like past the deadline. So I'm sorry, but it does happen. And so having that flexibility, like when you're in good graces most of the time, it makes these little allowances okay. And we had a plan. It wasn't like I didn't know what I was doing. I just hadn't gotten to it with a couple other projects and deadlines happening. So I knew going into my own podcast that I would try to batch record as much as possible. And I do that really well with guests. I don't always do it well with my solo episodes, but batch recording can really save you time and let you kind of close the tab and send it off to the team and let the team do it. As a podcast manager, I appreciated that. Like, I really love what's coming up. I also knew with my own show not to expect to make money. I mean, to monetize effectively, you need probably 10,000 downloads per episode. I am nowhere close to that. This is a very niche podcast. We're hitting 65,000 downloads right now. I've been doing it a few years. You can do the math. It's not that amazing, but there still is this thing that happens with people. They start a podcast and they just expect it to be this beautiful top of the funnel pull and everyone's just like suddenly diving in. My friends and I talk a lot about podcasts. I really think it's more of a nurturing platform than a lead getting platform, right? I mean, you can do the best SEO ever and people can refer you. For the most part, it's your warm audience that's really tuning in. I also knew I wanted to be strategic and not just get on there and blab about episodes. I don't do well with that. I don't do well on the fly. Like, I like to have a point. I'm very tactical. I don't just speak fluffy to speak fluffy. That's never been my style. And I also knew I wasn't going to just repurpose Facebook Lives. It's a little funny sticky point with me because that's how I started this podcast. It was Facebook Lives, but I knew that the podcast content needed to be something different and just couldn't be the same old stuff that my audience was already seeing from me. And I needed to be just smart about what that content was, right? So those are what I already knew going into podcast management training. And luckily, if you're in the work group, go watch our podcast manager training because it really is good. It's going to set you up to be niche down. And when you're a podcast manager, I've interviewed some to take over my show to see how they could help. I mean, they're charging $2,000 a month to manage podcasts and more, depending on if it's a chart topper. Okay, so let's get into the 10 things I've learned during my first 200 episodes. Do you think shouldn't be new or shocking? But I mean, come on, it always is. And I'm hoping you can take this and really use it to guide your clients and coach them. You know, we all end up being coaches and therapists on the side and be able to encourage them when it's tough to be able to help them keep their eyes on the prize. Because I think the worst thing about podcasting is sometimes it feels like a black hole. And I'm not saying this as a whiny, like I'm looking for people to stroke my ego and send me a DM and say, I love your podcast. Although that makes me feel like 1,000 times better. It just doesn't happen a lot, right? Like the feedback hole is a black hole. It very much can feel like a one-sided conversation. I can say like DM me what you think, give me your ideas all day long, but that's such high friction. I really do like the one-on-one conversations, the happy hours, the mixers that we have in the work group when people can share their ideas. I don't always like it being the Emily show. But for those of you who have reached out, who have left a review, have given me compliments, like thank you. From the bottom of my heart, it means everything and it keeps me going. It's that one little comment for the week will just like put me on the right path and really encourage me to keep showing up. So your clients are probably feeling the same way. So what can you do to make them feel better? Like give them the comments that are making them feel good. Find ways to get those testimonials to them. Add in a survey, a listener survey. Do the polling and the stickering and get people to reply back to emails so you can get that feedback going. Start a little We Love the Podcast folder in Google Drive just so you can show it to your client when they're feeling like quitting. Okay, maybe this is a pep talk for myself. Okay, so what do I want to say about my first 200 episodes? First of all, I already touched on this earlier, but this has been really good for flexing my own thoughts, opinions, point of view, like getting me to stand out and be bolder and really lean into my true messaging. If I didn't have a podcast, I don't know if I would have got there because I tend to shy away from video and audio. I think I would have been much more comfortable writing blogs for the rest of my life and never having to show my face or turn on the microphone. And so the thing that I've learned in my first 200 episodes is I have a voice. I can do it. And it's just so empowering, especially as someone who was behind the scenes looking at all these coaches thinking like, oh my God, I could never do that. I could never be Jennifer Allwood with her huge membership and huge audience and hundreds of thousands of people who love her. Like that could never be me. And the truth is like your voice can get through to one person and change how they're operating in life. God, is so worth it. It's so worth it. I also learned in my first 200 episodes that I need help. I knew how hard it was to keep it running consistently, but there are so many things happening behind the doors with podcasting, just getting it out there and doing it right, which I have this little stick on perfectionism. Like I don't just like publish a podcast. We build a whole blog around it. We have show notes. We do SEO. We do graphics. We do carousels. We do reels. Like I really want to do it right. And I want to do it well. And I want to honor the guests who've been on my show and make sure that we are supporting them with marketing assets and calling them out and shouting them out and getting them that attention too. I'm very much a helper and I very much needed help. And I knew that being a podcast manager, but I don't think I realized how taxing it was being the talent. Like when I'm done recording this podcast, I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done. And I'm not going to want to do anything else with it. And I'm so glad that I have the help to make it go because I think I probably would never hit a deadline on my own trying to do it on my own. I have really perfected being more organized since I have done my own show. Way more organized than I was as a podcast manager. And I think because I could take the lead and I have learned that I have to be organized so my team is on track, so we get the sponsorship right, so we get the mid-roll ad right, so that we get the promotion right. Like what is the campaign that we're promoting right now? And so we have a beautiful Asana board. We have a beautiful tracking sheet. We have a nice Google Drive system that just helps, but we also have to make it organized where other teammates can pop in and then use these same episodes to answer questions or to pass it along to leads or people interested. I really like this feeling. Maybe it's becoming a control thing, but of just having everything organized. Luckily, the podcast manager training teaches a lot of this, but I've only refined it as time has gone on, and it feels really good. I have been in businesses where things are very messy, very messy on the flip side. And I really try to take the time to name files right, put them in the right folder and order. And it's not always perfect. And sometimes I'm rushed and interrupted by children, but be organized. If you can bring that to your client's business and like help them get a plan in the process, like you're worth your weight in gold because most VAs are just sitting back waiting to be told what to do. So get ahead, like shuffle those folders around, renumber things for your client, like just take the lead with organizing. The fourth thing I've learned that it's okay to take breaks. I'm the worst at this, but this summer I am leading by example. We are going to take our first summer break. I always say I'm going to, and I never do. But yet every time my friends start a podcast, I'm like, do it in seasons. Give yourself seasons. Because there are times where people aren't listening. Listenership goes down during Christmas. It goes down over the summer. So let's take a break. We can repurpose. We can do other things. But this is the first summer I'm actually going to listen to myself. I've got to. Otherwise, I'm just burning the candle at both ends right now. It's okay to take breaks. Advise your clients so that way they can keep up consistency with these seasons. And your podcast tools will let you do that. Number five, be choosy with your guest. I have had really great guests on the show, and some of them are in my most downloaded episodes. Marisa Corcoran, Laura Belgray, Ali Grummert are some of the top ones. Some of my own students are in the top episodes as well. But be choosy. Don't just take anyone. Any time that I felt like a guest might be off, might be using me, might be a little bit funny, I was always right. And it's really interesting who will be on your show and then unfollow you or never share that episode with their community. You need to protect your client and avoid guests like that because that doesn't help you. It doesn't help you. We want the guests who are going to be good, who actually deliver value. I had one person who was basically pitching me for his services. I never did air the episode. I was like, I can't. This is so horrible. So I've learned my lesson. Be choosy, have a vetting process. I rarely say yes to cold pitches for my podcast. I have so many friends. Like, I'm good. I've got a plan. I'm not desperate or needing guests. It's so easy for me to record my own. I'm in a lot of these podcasting Facebook groups where they're looking for guests. And sometimes people need a really specialized, specific topic. I've just never had that problem because I'm a good networker. Okay, time out. I'm interrupting my own show to tell you about a new favorite tool. You already know that I'm all about being the best digital marketing assistant or specialist out there, and that means staying up to date with the latest AI tools and marketing strategies. Especially if you're doing project rates and retainers, you want to work faster and you always want to impress your clients at the same time. So it's a win-win, slay all day type of cliche, but it's true. So I want to tell you about my sponsor, castmagic.io. If you help your clients with podcasts, live streams, courses, memberships, summits, YouTube, any kind of video, then you want to use this tool. We had a demo recently in our digital marketers work group and it blew everyone's mind. We all loved it because you can get so much content out of it. Transcripts, show notes, social posts, emails, even create support docs, quizzes, and assessments. You can even clip videos. It's amazing. And then it goes a step further and it allows you to templatize it so it gets even faster and you get more efficient. Me and my team are using Cast Magic and they have usage-based pricing, meaning there's a plan for everyone depending on how many minutes you really need and the content you're working with. You can use my link in the show notes or go to get.castmagic.io/unicorns to start automating your content workflow. Again, that's get.castmagic.io/unicorns. All right, back to the show. So with that, my sixth thing that I've learned doing 200 episodes, solo episodes are so much easier because I don't have to do all this scheduling rigmarole. Like right now, I took my daughter's shoe shopping. It's spring break. I told them to go fold the clothes, dumped out all the clothes in the living room, and I'm in here just recording this podcast. I had already listed things out, already got feedback from my team, and I don't have to worry about appearing on video and scheduling a guest and sounding smart and just the whole process and calendar management that comes with guests is just like a thorn in my side. I just hate calendars. I hate schedules. I hate feeling confined to Zoom calls. But I freaking love my guests. They're the best and I learn so much and they really propel the podcast. So my advice to anyone would be do a healthy mix of that. My listener survey said they liked both, so I'm going to continue to do both. I also enjoy not having to come up with the content when there is a guest and I get to add my two cents. But with that, kind of piggybacking off this one, what really moves the needles are the series, the bingeable series. And I kind of had a whiff of this when I was working with Jennifer. I was like, wow, like what if we had a plan? What if we gave people a reason to listen to the next week? Even if we just had a plan and could say what was coming up, that was better than nothing. Because we didn't always know week to week, I'll just be honest. And so I have started doing these series on the show. Those have been really fun because I like having a point. I like teaching. I like having tactics. I like going deeper than we can in one episode. And so we have done a launching series, a copywriting series, a content management series. And I have a really fun one planned for funnels, but I've decided I'm going to take a break this summer and push it back to the fall because I want to enjoy my summer with the kids. We have a lot going on and I need the mental break, but the series are fun. If I could do everything in a series, I would. And sometimes you'll see little common patterns. Like I just had Serena and Pam and I have Kimberly Tara coming up on the show, and we're all talking about finances and business and tax strategies. Like, in my dream world, I would have liked to put them all together in a series. It just took a little bit more planning. So if you can do that for your clients, I would encourage you to think in terms of, when can we do a series that's effective? And could we rinse and repeat it and make it something that people could come back to? I mean, just look at TikTok. I mean, even before Risa Tisa, it's the video series that would hook me into TikTok people. TikTokers, I think that's the word, which we have one coming up really soon. It's going to be a good episode. Number 7, I have learned, experiment with what's working. Growing your podcast is really hard. It has never just happened or fallen into my lap. And I'm certainly not at that monetized 10,000 number I was just telling you about. But promoting the podcast has been an experiment to what's working and what's not, and having to call quits on social media posts that actually aren't working, emails that aren't actually getting clicks. And so it is experimenting, and you have to be paying attention to the data and the numbers, surveying your audience to see what actually is working. So that has been a learning lesson. We've cut out audiograms. We've switched to reels. I don't do weekly email every week. I don't have the capacity. I mean, I don't have the huge content team to be able to do that. So sometimes I pick and choose which podcasts I talk about. Number 8, what I have learned doing my first 200 episodes. SEO. I know it. It's the basis of the work I've done and what I teach in the Unicorn Digital Marketing Assistant School. But yet, when I started this podcast, I came out with cutesy titles like the Friends episodes. You know how their episodes are? The one where it all began, the one with the sonogram at the end, the one with the thumb. So I tried to do that, telling freelancer stories at the beginning of this podcast, and that did not help my downloads. So I was looking at my most downloaded episodes, and then I reversed it and looked at my least downloaded, and it's all those. The dentist who, the ESL teacher who, the licensed therapist who. Nobody's listened to those episodes, even though they were really good. The dentist was talking about a personality test and understanding your strengths. The ESL teacher was talking about brick and mortar Instagram marketing. The therapist was talking about boundaries. And I mean, they were really good episodes, but they were titled so poorly and without SEO in mind. And so I've gotten better about that. We've switched our titling. I wish I would have just started like that from the beginning and thought SEO titles. We could always do better with the tagging. I know, I feel like we drop that ball sometimes, but definitely do that. The 9th thing I've learned about starting and running 200 episodes. Okay. This is going to like ruffle some feathers. You don't need another course. You don't need another course. And your clients just need you. They just need me. This is what happened. I wanted to start a podcast. I found a really good podcast editor. Her name's Emily Porter. Her and her team do this podcast. And I just said, how do we start? Let's start. Let's get this thing going. And we launched it within 4 weeks. I didn't need a course. I also had podcast manager experience, but I knew what I wanted to do. I knew how to get the designs. I needed the most help putting things together and hitting publish. I knew I could do it. I'd played in Lisbon. I've done this as a podcast manager, but I didn't want to be the one to do it all. And so if you get somebody who's an implementer who does it for clients all the time, it's easy. I'm sure Emily can take you if you want a podcast, or you can refer her to your clients. Skip the course. Although I do have friends who have courses, and I'm not dissing that. Some people just need a little bit more hand holding when it comes to the strategy of their podcast, probably figuring out where it fits in their business. And maybe for them, the course makes sense. I will say my friend Michelle Soro, she has worked with a couple of my unicorns. She has a podcasting course. And what I like about it, they do part implementation. And I'm so big on implementation, you know that. Like, we don't need another business coach. We need more people helping people get stuff done. So her team and her help you launch it and publish it, record it, and do all of that. So for some people, that is a big technical feat to do. That's the course I recommend. And I am an affiliate. If you want that link, if you're interested, I will give it to you. But like, you don't need to go out and do a podcasting for dummies, anything. Just get somebody like Emily Porter on your team to help you fast track it, so you're not spending all this time researching. My 10th thing I've learned doing my 200 episodes. Okay, this is so embarrassing, but when I first started, I can remember it being 2016 and me transcribing by hand, listening to my clients' Facebook Lives and having to transcribe, type out what they're saying. I'm reworking the content into social posts, into emails, into show notes, into scripts. Now, You don't have to do that. There's AI tools, so many good AI tools. My team and I are using castmagic.io. We've played around with Captcho. ChatGPT is a big one. It can just help you speed up the process. We'll put all these links in the show notes if you want to check them out. I have an affiliate link for CastMagic. I highly recommend it. It just speeds up the process so much, so you don't have to sit there and listen for that quote that you need to pull out and turn into a graphic. It will pull it out for you. Okay, so those are the 10 things I've learned during my first 200 episodes. I'm so glad I did it. I have really enjoyed the process. I'm going to keep doing it. I think with a little mini break over the summer, I will be revitalized and I'll be able to take the podcast to the next level. Like, I don't have any major changes. I'm going to just keep trucking over here because I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I wanted to quickly go through what my team told me because I thought you would find this interesting. And I'm going to kind of read this. I thought about having Emily on and Shannon on, but I just told you it's hard work scheduling guests. So I asked them both to just leave me some notes. So I asked Emily, my podcast editor. She works with someone on our team, Leanne, who edits the podcast too. So this is what she told me. Collaboration and communication. Make sure the whole team is on the same page so you know when things need to get done and what are the necessary pieces. Getting everything in a timely manner and always checking in to see what else can be done to make sure the podcast gets out and looking its best. It really is a collaboration effort. We catch each other's mistakes. We have to keep each other in the loop with, like, what is the mid-roll ad? What is the outro? What is the intro? What is the hook? It is a team effort and it does take communication. So I don't actually have Emily in my Asana now. I kicked her out. It's like trying to downsize that payment, but we communicate on a Google Doc and through Voxer mostly, and it works for us. Her second lesson, mistakes happen. People will miss deadlines, guilty. Editors will miss cutting things out, guilty. But holding yourself accountable, owning the mistake, and what you'll put in place to make sure it doesn't happen again is crucial. It's also accepting that we all make mistakes and then it will happen sometimes. And it has. Sometimes somebody has pointed out something for me and I let her know. Sometimes our show notes messes up thanks to Apple Podcasts. Sometimes, like the one morning I was looking for the podcast, it didn't hit publish right away. Like, little things happen, but it's never a burning fire. You know, even if it was a launch, a podcast episode coming out on cart close day is not going to make or break my launch. And so I'm pretty cool about it. They're pretty cool with me when I mess up or I said something wrong. I need to go recut it or something. Mistakes will happen. And if you have a client who's not patient and accepting, who doesn't even own her own mistakes, like, that's not going to work out in the long term. Number three, plan ahead. Look at the podcast schedule and plan out when the episodes will be edited so that you're not rushing last minute to get an episode out. I think that's probably the hardest thing about her work or any video editor work. You really can't speed it up, so you have to give yourself time and that buffer. And I'm sure kids get sick. You're planning your life, your vacations. You can't just have a bunch of last minute clients like dumping their episode on you, making it your problem. Planning ahead is everything. Like I said, I failed on this episode. Sorry, girls. Stay up to date. Number four, hosting platforms, podcast players are always changing. I think the Amazon one or the Google one's changing right now. I can't even remember. It's so much to keep up with. But make sure that you know when there's a big change and let the client know of changes in case they need to make a change. I always appreciate that. Like, if Emily comes to me and tells me something that's changing, just makes me respect her more and shows that she's looking out for my business, even if it's just like something small. Like, this is her lane to stay up to speed with the podcast because I just need to turn my brain off in that department and I'm counting on her. So I appreciate that. Number five, trends come and go. There are always new trends in podcasting. I would love to know what these are, Emily. We're going to have to talk about this. I'm like, what are they? But finding which, if any, fit you and your podcast style, don't be afraid to go against the grain and do a style you like. I'm sure she sees the spectrum with different clients. It's never good when we're trying to copy other people, right? It's not authentic. So clients need to really show up as themselves. I couldn't agree with that more. Number six, be consistent. From an editor perspective, this is the easiest way to know that your episodes will go out in a timely manner and they're less likely to be mistakes when we have plenty of time to get everything done. Oh my gosh, couldn't agree more. When things are rushed, like that weekly email, that's when mistakes happen. I really, really try not to do that. Number seven, make sure you work with people you like. Aw, Emily has the best team and I love working with them. And we like working with Emily. That's so sweet. And it's so true. It's got to be a podcasting client you feel good about when you believe in their impact and their mission, when you enjoy listening to their episodes. Like, that makes all the difference. When you have clients you love, you enjoy listening to their episodes, when you can think of ideas for them, it's just, it makes it so much more fun. I couldn't agree more. That's what freelancing is about, working with the clients who have the impact mission aligned. All right, now let's move on to Shannon. She is my podcast assistant. She helps me get the podcast out every week, follows up with the guests, let them know when their podcasts are live, gives them the graphics so they can promote. Hopefully she's giving it to them with plenty of time so they can work it into their content schedule. I know whenever I'm a guest, I kind of like to know more than the day before, but you know. Okay, here's what Shannon said. Number one, spelling and grammar. Seriously, double, triple check that stuff. Sure, Grammarly's there to lend a hand, but it's not perfect. Typos happen, and catching them before you hit publish, it's not the end of the world. You can go back and fix it unless it's a really cringe-worthy one. And then, yeah, panic a little. The number of times I've typed unicorns untie is embarrassing. Oh my gosh, my fingers always misspell successful. They just do it. They just want to like add an extra C, like a third C. It's so bizarre. It is funny because we had a graphic go out 2 weeks ago with episodes spelled wrong. I mean, I'm the queen of typos. Just read my emails. It happens. Like, it's okay. It's life. It sucks when it's on a graphic. It sucks even more when it's on a reel. Hands up if you've done that for a client and then it's there forever. The graphics, we can go back and switch out really quick. I've had my own name spelled wrong on other podcasts where I was a guest. It happens. Number two, SOPs, standard operating procedures. Have a solid workflow to stick to make life easier and so much smoother. No need to reinvent the wheel each time, and hopefully another teammate can follow if they need to. Yeah, we've been trying to work this out in our business. We have a way we do things. It just makes it easier. You're not having to think it through every time from scratch if there is a system and a process. Number three, communication. Whether it's with clients or your podcast team, staying connected and on the same page is key. Don't be afraid to shoot off a quick message if something's unclear. Better ask than to muddle through and mess up. Yes, this is why we do a lot of quick Voxers. We just have one little Voxer chat, which is Emily and Shannon and I, and we can just do quick communication. Number four, be proactive. Anticipate what can go wrong. Learn from those slip-ups and be one step ahead next time. Planning ahead is so important. Make note of these things and let your team know too. I actually should have asked her for more context on this one. I know Shannon has caught me messing up on things before and let me know and kind of anticipates some of that now. So I'm wondering if that's what she meant. There's probably something good here. I'll have to ask her for more detail. Tune into my Instagram stories. I'll update you on this one. Number five, learn your tech stack. Get familiar with the program's tools needed to produce the podcast so you can step in if needed. Life happens and you never know when you might need to swoop in and help with a task that isn't normally yours. She's probably talking about Lisbon here, having to go in and adjust some show notes or hit publish on a podcast. Hopefully you have a team that can do this and support each other and have a basic grasp of tech stuff. It can be a lifesaver. It's always scary the first time you log into something like Lisbon or somebody's podcasting host or even WordPress or your client's Facebook. But if you're familiar with it, if you have that SOP, like, you can do it. It's easy. It's not that hard. Number six, templates are your best friend. I couldn't agree more. For graphics, show notes, YouTube descriptions, everything. If your client doesn't already have them, make them. Take the time upfront to make them. It goes with the SOPs, but your future self will thank you. Yes, I have a template for show notes. I'm like, hey, this is how I like it. Kind of this order, you can deviate a little bit. This is how we post all of our YouTube descriptions, because she'll repurpose over there too. We work together to repurpose some of the podcast video over on YouTube and graphics, definitely. And sometimes we're changing it up as well, but we usually stick to the same graphics for like a chunk of time. So templatize everything. And I've shared my templatized show notes with Amy Porterfield's people and they loved them. It just makes life easier. Number seven, be organized. Be consistent with folders and naming. If you need to go grab something, you and your team knows where it is. Yeah, we're very organized with our podcast folder. I think the junkiest part is the Emily's ideas section. They can kind of float around. We have a system where we'll have the episodes that are coming up. The same type of documents and files are in those folders. And then after that episode is published, it gets moved away. So that way the top episodes are always up at the top and we're very systematic about it. Number 8, transcripts. They're your Bible. Pull directly from it for copy. It's literally your client's or your guest's voice. Tweak it, make it make sense on the platform you're on. You'll have so much content to refer back to and repurpose. And you can make related blogs or thank you pages and emails. Yes, we put all of the podcasts through transcript tool called otter.ai. I think I have an affiliate link for that, so we'll throw that in there. That way it's there. So anyone on my team in the future, a copywriter, like I shared last week's episode with the copywriter, so she could use it during the work group promo session. It's so helpful and doesn't require the client to be on another Zoom call, like sharing their ideas. She says, number 9, make ChatGPT your bitch, or any AI tool. It has literally saved me so much time. I'll always adjust and edit it. It's not the final product, but it's a tool to help create that final show notes and social post. We're like a broken record, but if you copy and paste, you're going to make your client sound stupid and they can tell the difference. And we can tell when our marketing assistants are doing AI. And sometimes I'm like, whatever. But I can tell when I'm out in the social media world and reading Facebook posts and blogs. And we can run your stuff through an AI checker too. But if it's like templatized good enough to go somewhat AI written, like I'm good. It's good. Let's call it a day and let's get that baby out there. Number 10, you don't have to listen to the whole damn episode. I had to back in my day, Shannon. She said, I learned that real quick. Time is precious. Rely on your transcription tools or AI to help you with the summary and the show notes. Listen to the intro and outro to get the gist of it. Yep. And I will kind of skip around and pull quotes and ideas. I do that when I'm pitching for podcasts too, when I want to be a guest on their show. I don't have time to listen to the entire episode unless I'm on a big road trip. I'll kind of bounce around within the episode and kind of get what I need. The biggest lesson after 200 episodes is that we need help. Right? It is a lot to keep up with marketing. And if your client wants to add podcasting, like you should feel good about the level of help that you bring to the table. If you're able to come in and make a content calendar, if you're able to help them schedule and find guests, if you're helping script out shows, coming up with pre-launch content, if you are diving into your client's DMs and inbox and free Facebook group and comments and pulling out more ideas for podcasts, you're really cementing your weight being an indispensable teammate, a podcast manager, a podcast assistant. Getting my team to help with ideation, I hope you're listening to this, like that would be like the next big dream, to have people start queuing me up for some of these podcasts as my time gets more crunched and crunched as I get to the next level of my own business, right? As I perfect my messaging, it's kind of easier for other people to kind of come in there and like keep it going. I'm not saying like take over for me, but understand the commonly asked questions, the objections, the pain points that my audience is going through and helping me create content to serve them better. Like that's the next stage dream. So Shannon, I hope you heard that part. That's where I would like to go. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. This is really fun, pulling back the curtain and talking about what's happening behind the scenes. I don't want your client to be one of those pod fade numbers. One of the stats I read was that 75% of podcasts are no longer in production. And to pod fade generally means to stop your podcast all of a sudden without notice. Like, I don't know, some people, we have life stuff happening, but usually it means it wasn't intended or planned. It was just so hard to keep up with. Clients run out of energy. They don't want to do the work anymore. They just stop producing episodes. I mean, you want the clients who are more in it than that and get the long-term game. You don't want to align with the podcasting clients who aren't fully committed to their business, but still, you can aid them because I guarantee you they're kind of struggling to keep up with it. Oh yeah, I'll just start a YouTube channel and a podcast and show up on TikTok and serve my clients and write a weekly email and launch and spend time with my kids and make healthy meals. Like, no, it takes a village. It certainly takes a village with the podcast. I thank you to my team, Leanne, Emily, and Shannon, two people who have worked on my team in the past. I'm thinking of Ruthie, Janeska, Joy, Carrie, thinking of my teammates now, Deb, Sasha, Anna, Megan. Thank you. Thank you for making this podcast possible. And I can't wait to talk to you next week on the show. Let me just look at my master list really quick. because I just told you we should reference the next one coming up. We're going to go into a series with a few guests. I think you're really going to love it. We're going to talk next week about evergreen newsletters. We're going to get into TikTok. We're going to get into copyrights for courses, actually much more fun than it sounds. We're going to get more into operations. We have a whole bunch of podcasts coming up that you're going to love. Some of these slightly different than we normally talk about. Thank you for joining me on this particular episode. Thanks for making 200 episodes possible, for being a listener, and I'll see you next week. If you want to start earning income as a digital marketing service provider or digital marketing assistant, you only need your laptop. You can tap into what online business owners really need help with by downloading my top 10 most requested tasks. These are the services I did for years for my clients behind the scenes. You can take this download and apply it to your own business and start by offering these very same services. If you want to niche down in digital marketing, this is your guide. Just use the link in the show notes or go to emilyreaganpr.com/services. The Friends episodes. You know how their episodes are the one where, or, you know, what are Friends episodes? Hold on, let me look at a popular Friends episode and get a sip of my Heineken. Podcasting and drinking. Welcome to my world. Oh, I almost knocked over my microphone.